This is a totally different podcast episode than I usually do because here I'm showcasing the amazing people who will be at a Freelance Unlocked conference, the first conference for freelancers that made with love, and it'll take place in Berlin on May 15, 16, 2024. If you are a freelancer in Europe, it's an event made for you to learn, exchange experiences, and build your network of great freelancers and experts who move the freelance economy forward. So go to freelanceunlocked.com and grab your ticket right away. My name is Yuri. I'm a community builder at Code Control and 9am.works. And my guest is Nicole Krenz, a social media strategist and a founder of Digitalis Coworking, a professional community of founders, entrepreneurs, and freelancers. So hello, Nicole.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Super happy to talk to you. I know the topic of your speech, but I will ask you about it later. And I'm super excited to talk more about it. But the first question is, how did you start your journey in the freelance world?
Yeah, it's quite boring, actually. I started blogging when I was very young. So I kind of got into it with my whole blog. And during my studies and my bachelor, I discovered how to monetize my blog and my photos. So I started with this blogging thing, and then it developed quite naturally. During my studies, I started working as a freelancer for startups. And then, I decided to go to work at a social media agency full time. But I discovered quite early that it wasn't really my thing there, like the work culture, the flexibility wasn't really there. We couldn't work remotely and agency stuff.
yeah, exactly.
So I just quit my job and thought, hell yes, I will try it. I have nothing to lose. So I started working as a social media freelancer 6 years ago now. And I really struggled in the beginning, to be honest. I thought it would be much more easy to be a freelancer. I really had struggles with finding new customers, the loneliness and working from home. Yeah. And the missing exchange of ideas with colleagues. Obviously I found my way now and I'm really, really happy now. So it was a bit of a challenge in the beginning, but now I'm quite happy as a freelancer. And I think there are new challenges will come, but we will find a solution for it.
You know, it's interesting because you started your journey quite early and you basically, as you said, had nothing to lose. And I know that many people who are starting their freelancing career, they were like 10, 15 years of working in some companies and then like, oh, I feel like I can do it by myself. But they meet a lot of problems or a lot of challenges because they got used to this working environment, you know, that somebody always brings you projects, that you receive this stable payment. So you kind of have a little bit of advantage, you know, like starting in the earliest days. And I'm curious, how did you decide? Do you remember this day when you were like, I need to create a community? So how did you decide to create a community?
Yeah, the digital co-working community kind of started in COVID.
Yeah.
Because everyone was working from home, but also my personal challenges as a freelancer had a big impact on it, because as I said, I was working from home. Obviously I'm living in Berlin, so there are a lot of people here, but I'm living in the outskirts of Berlin, so every co-working space, it's like almost an hour away, and I really hated to go into the tram each day, and
yeah. It's
long distance, and it's like, okay, no, I'm not motivated to go to an office every day, but I have to change this somehow. I also have a dog, so I couldn't bring it everywhere. And it's like, okay, now I have to find a solution to get a network or some kind of community at home. And yeah, so the digital co-working started during COVID in 2020. And I really noticed fast that a lot of people who were freelancers or working from home had similar challenges, and it was really good to talk about those challenges in business quite openly.
Yeah.
It's not like when you're meeting someone new, you're not really open. You don't really speak about your challenges quite freely. So you can't get a real answer to it. It's more like, okay, I'm really good. See what I'm doing. And it's more like, okay, yeah, I get it. But in a close community, it's more open and you can really trust the people there. And that's how it developed more and more. In the community, in the beginning, we just met some days a week, not very regularly. But then some people asked for digital co-working sessions, like, okay, I need some motivation every day. So let's meet on Zoom, have the cameras on, the microphones off, and work together. And so it developed, like day by day. And now I think three years now, yeah, later, it's a whole concept which is working for us. And yeah, it's really good to have people around again to exchange ideas and to talk and yeah, just have colleagues in some way.
Yeah, I totally get it, you know, but even though for me, it's a little bit, I usually prefer to work on my own, like, you know, without anyone watching me or something like that, because like, if I have a conversation with someone, I really want to have really a conversation because, you know, I can sit still, but I understand that it's really, really great idea for people to get motivated because you are not alone, you're getting together, you're having some time slots, you're having some time blocks, and you are just doing this work, and then you're catching up on each other, you're like supporting if you have any questions. So I totally get how it works. And as you've told that sometimes it's not easy to talk about your challenges. It's almost impossible because everyone wants to be the shiny person on outside. And then that's exactly why we have this Freelance Sucks podcast where I'm trying to talk to freelancers about their challenges. And, you know, I don't know how it works. I feel like you already also saw the same, but when you are talking about challenges, maybe you don't even have a solution. But when you are talking about challenges and you hear challenges that you are facing, it feels easier to go through your own challenges when you understand that, okay, I'm not alone in this journey.
Yeah, that's true. Also, on Instagram and LinkedIn, everybody seems so successful. And I sometimes feel like a really big loser. And it's like, okay, now I know they also have challenges. And it's totally normal to have ups and downs, to develop your own way. But I think, especially in the beginning, you first have to get it that everyone has challenges, and mostly the same challenges, to be honest, and that it has to develop by each time. Yeah.
So you've been through this freelancing journey for 6 years so far. And what is your take on the freelance economy and how it will develop in the near future?
Yeah, well, I think the AI thing disrupted the freelance world a bit. A lot of people getting nervous, I think. But well, I'm quite relaxed, to be honest. I think the world will change, and also as an employee, as as a freelancer, you have to learn new skills, learn how to use AI and develop your skills and your knowledge. So I think if you are on top with learning new stuff and really going into your work, it's okay. You will survive. So yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty, especially with the crisis. Everything is going on, and yeah, I get it. But I think if you do good work, have a sustainable business model, then you will survive and will find new solutions.
What are your relationships with AI?
Not that much, to be honest, but I think there could be more. I sometimes use ChatGPT or similar tools to brainstorm new ideas, especially for social media posts. I think it's quite a good start. It's not it's not that it could do my job, because to be honest, what ChatGPT is giving us is quite shitty sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a good start. So if you have a good prompt and you will give them the information they need, they develop a good start, and then you can use your own brain and develop it further. But I think also in podcasting and YouTubing, there's a lot of tools which are quite helpful to help with your workload, I think, because the person behind the business is, it's quite important, I think. I don't think that AI is getting better than the person behind it, because personal experiences and learnings are quite important, but I think it can support our work. So I think it can be helpful if you use it right, but I don't think you have to worry.
You know, it's fun. I feel like we're having a little bit of competitive advantage with next generations, because next generation, for example, my kid who is at school right now, he's already knowing that there is this ChatGPT and AI stuff, and he like, I don't need to learn anything. I can ask ChatGPT. And then like, oh my God, you can't trust ChatGPT, you know? You have to have this your own brain. And how can you like do this stuff without? But yeah, I totally get what you are talking about. And I feel like without using your own brain, AI won't save your workload or anything else, because you still have to use your brain.
Yeah, that's true. And also your personality, I think, it's a big thing, which is an advantage, because AI doesn't have a personality. So I think you have a lot of experiences and your own way. So you can't be it. Yeah, it can be useful, but it won't be a danger to your work, I think.
And I also feel as you've told about having like an initial version using ChatGPT, I feel like it's better than nothing. So it's always, even if you have like a shitty first draft, it's better than no draft at all. So at least you can start doing some stuff after that.
Yeah, that's okay. True.
So give me a sneak peek into what you'll be talking about on the Freelance Unlocked stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about my networking experiences, because honestly, I'm not a sales or networking person. it's quite a weird thing to say if I'm talking about networking, but especially in the beginning, those two were really big challenges. I'm not the person for cold calls or cold sales. I'm really not good at this. So I had to find my own way in networking and in selling my offers. So I tried a lot, and it wasn't always good. So I had a lot of bad experiences with networking, where I was at meetups and events which weren't really a good fit. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the person who wants to be forced to recommend someone. So those structured networks weren't really my thing, because when I'm recommending someone, I want to do it with a good feeling, because I know this work is good, and I can recommend it with a good feeling. But if you are forced to recommend someone, I wouldn't feel good with it. So I had to develop some other ways of networking, and about these other ways I will talk also in my talk, because over the years, of course, I grew a really huge network with social media, with my own community, with just nurturing and building relationships, honestly. And I think that's what is networking is all about. It's not about selling your stuff and have the best pitch and story to tell. It's more about the relationships, because we are all human. We all want to be seen as a person and a personality. And I think if you know other people a bit deeper than, okay, I tell you my story, which I learned 3 seconds ago and can tell you now, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an ending, and now a pitch at the end. It's like, okay, yeah, I get it, I can read it on your website too, but it's not really a close relationship. And about how to build these relationships in the business world, I will talk a bit more. Also, time is quite a limited thing for freelancers, especially for me. I have enough things to do. I can't go every day to a networking meeting. So I had to find some ways to do it quite quickly, but sustainable. And these things I will talk about, how I find my way and also which mistakes I made and what works for me.
You know, like when people talk about use the word networking, I feel like it's a little bit of kind of corrupted, because like, you know, the sales expert always use like, hey, let's do some networking. And that's exactly what we are talking about, you know, just exchanging this visit cards and then like, what are you doing? And then like go to the next one. And then at the end of the day, there is no connection at all. So I feel like that you're talking more about, I call this word like friend working, you know, where really like create this relationships, exactly what you are talking about. And I'm curious, what are the top benefits of having a good network for you personally?
Well, of course, you will get more clients, to be honest. You don't have to sell everything, but through those relationships, you will be recommended to other people. You will be talked about in a good way, hopefully. Because you're a good person and you do good work. And so you will get, new clients and new opportunities. And I think that's a really huge benefit. But also, which I really, really like with my network, is that we have open conversations, which where I will benefit from it. So not every person knows someone who will be my client, of course. So not every person I meet will get me more money right away. It's more about talking about the challenges, as I said, about learnings, because I think you can buy a lot of courses and coaches and stuff, but those honest conversations are so good, because you get so much learnings from a sentence or just a moment of it. So like, other people are doing it like this, and okay, that's another point of view to it. And it's a huge benefit just to talk with other people in similar situations, or also from other areas, to get a new point of view. And I think those two are obviously the big benefits of a good network. Once you will get more clients, of course, but also the relationship part is a huge benefit, especially when you're working from home alone, you don't have colleagues. It's good for your well-being too.
And from your experience and from experience of people that you are having conversations with, who you are open with, what are the main struggles that freelancers have with building their networks, and what are they doing wrong?
I think a lot of people hate networking because they think, oh, that's okay, I will exchange business cards and have to go home with 3 sales after each event. And I would hate it too, honestly.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, no, networking is not for me. I won't do it. And it's like, okay, it's sad, because there are a lot of opportunities to get from this network. And I think this is the biggest mistake most of the freelancers make, to have the wrong connection to networking, because it isn't just selling stuff. It's building relationships. And if it just clicked, I think there are a lot of opportunities for each personality. And also another mistake I would say would be to think that networking is always needs a lot of time effort, because you can do it quite easy next to your work. Like, and for example, in our community, we have coffee dates like 30 minutes, and then we will talk in breakout sessions for 10 minutes in one-on-one, and there are a lot of good conversations in just 30 minutes from your home. So you don't have to do anything. You can grab your coffee and just sit there, start, relax in the morning, and it's not really that time intensive. Also, with the co-working sessions, you see other people, you know what they're working on, and so you get a good impression and you're building this relationship. So I think there are a lot of ways, not only in the community, but also in offline co-working spaces, to integrate this networking thing into your work, so you don't have to be a networker to build a network. You can really integrate it into your daily business.
I feel like when people hear the word networking, they think like, oh, I have to have some tools. I have to go to LinkedIn. I have to research my clients. I have to send them cold messages, and I have to sell them something. But I feel like that's not how it works. So you're doing this. Yeah, you're doing the small steps, just connecting with someone. You can talk about anything. You can talk about pets. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about stuff. And then at some point, you definitely can talk about business. And, you know, what you've told that it doesn't have to be hard and time consuming. I learned it recently by the hard example, because I was thinking that, yeah, you know, I know so many people and it's impossible to stay in touch with everyone. But then I noticed that just 1, 2, 3 comments a day with someone on LinkedIn, or as you've told, go to some kind of like half an hour meeting. It's like almost nothing in if you are thinking about our daily time, but it pays so much back over the time. So yeah, I feel like people are definitely missing it. And thank you so much for highlighting this, that networking doesn't have to be hard and it's super easy and not that time consuming. And I'm also curious, what is one thing that every freelancer must do right now to improve their networking skills?
Good question. I don't think there's just one answer, but I will try it. Well, to improve your networking skills, I think in preparation, for example, for conference or for the next event, the one thing they could do is just to relax and take it easy. but also to update your social media profiles and to just know what you're doing and what you're looking for example. I think you don't need more. You just need to update maybe your LinkedIn profile or your Instagram page that people can find you after an event or a meeting, so that you can stay in contact and that you can say what you're doing. I think a lot of people have difficulties with it to explain what they're actually doing, but people won't understand it if you can't explain it. So yeah, I think those things have to be straight in the head, and then everything is going to be fine. Just relax and take it easy. And yeah, I think that's the one bigger thing they can prepare.
I feel like it's a little bit easier if you are connecting online, because for example, you are sending LinkedIn message or something like that and people already see your profile and everything. But what is your approach when you're going to in-person events? So you don't have this website with you, like, How do you share it with people? Do you have some visit card, or do you share your LinkedIn? Like, how do you connect with people in-person events?
It depends a bit on the event. I really like events where there is a coordinated business speed dating, because it's much easier to get in contact with other people. So you have like 5 minutes with each person and you just say, hello, I'm doing this, and then you can reconnect and you already know this person. But if you don't, yeah, then you have to go to other persons and just talk and just say hi. Then the rest will follow. But I'm always having my business cards with me. I don't think that it's really necessary today to have business cards, because most people have just a LinkedIn QR code and then they are just landing on the page.
Yeah.
I really love my business cards. So I'm also collecting them, because then I know, okay, this person I met on this event on LinkedIn, I easily lose an overview which people I met. So I can't contact them after the event. So it's a bit difficult for me over LinkedIn. But with the business card, I collect them, and then I can, on the next business day, I can add them on LinkedIn, write a nice message, say, hi, it was really nice to meet you. Maybe repeat some talking points or ask some questions, follow-up questions. So yeah, we can stay in contact. And also on the business card, I have a QR code to a landing page where I have my links to LinkedIn, Instagram, my offers. So there's a nice overview. So I think it's really helpful. Also, if you have something in your hands, you're mostly more secure when you're talking.
Yeah.
It's also when you're insecure on a networking event, just grab a drink. Maybe not with alcohol, because too much would be not good for talking to other people. Well,
just enough.
Too much.
Just enough. Yeah.
So maybe a glass of water or something, which you can take in your hand, and it's also a good way to go out of a conversation again. Like, okay, I grab another drink, and then to meet new people. I think it's a good way for insecurities on those events. And so I don't think you need business cards. I really like them. I would prefer them, but it's a lot of trash. So because of sustainability reasons, maybe also a QR code would be okay. And maybe some online notes or mobile notes where you also put the names down so you can reconnect on LinkedIn again and don't lose the overview. Yeah.
Also, I feel like very crucial thing that you've mentioned is to add some something unique, something personal when you send in this LinkedIn connection, because people are totally the same. You know, if you are at the conference, for example, there is 500 people. Definitely won't meet all 500, but let's say you met 50 people, but they also met 50 people, how they will remember you? But when you add some personal thing, some detail that you were talking about or something that you were connecting with, like, it'll definitely help them to remember you. And I feel like it's a great starting point to continue this conversation. And you are definitely going to be at the Freelance Unlocked conference. But what would you say to your friend if they asked you whether they should go to the Freelance Unlocked?
Yeah, I would obviously say, yes, you should go. I think every opportunity with events and conferences are a good opportunity to meet new people, especially when there's a specific crowd. So I think the target group is quite useful for other freelancers, especially when they want to network and want to build new relationships with other freelancers. So yeah, I'm very curious about the networking opportunities at the Freelance Unlocked. But so I think that's a big part of conferences in general, and also on your conference, that there will be networking opportunities. And I'm very curious about the program, to be honest, because the last events I visited were more a mixed target group with mixed topics. So I'm really curious about the topics, especially for freelancers, and I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really happy to meet new people there. So yeah, maybe you also want to connect with me.
And what is the best way to connect with you even before the conference?
Of course on Instagram or LinkedIn. I think it's the best way to connect and just write a short message, and then we could exchange some rough infos, and maybe could meet on the conference for coffee. I love coffee.
Got it, Nicole. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing wisdom even before the conference. And I can't wait to learn even more from you on Freelance Unlocked, and hope to see you very soon in person.
Yeah, you too. And thank you for the invitation. And I'm really looking forward to it too.
And for those who listen to this episode, I hope you learn from Nicole's experience and say thank you to her in person at the Freelance Unlocked conference on May 15-16 in Berlin. So go to freelanceunlocked.com, grab your ticket, and meet you there.